hear a lot about pollution in the water and the air and the earth, but our next guest is setting his sights higher in our planet's orbit.
Tom Percy joins us now. He's an engineer, and he's a doctoral student in aerospace systems engineering at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. In a recent paper he co-wrote in the journal Space Policy, he makes the case that orbital debris is a threat to working satellites and the International Space Station, and that it's time for a cleanup. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Tom, first of all, what is this debris? Where is it coming from in our orbit?
Well, we've been flying satellites in Earth orbit for over 55 years now, and we have a lot of satellites up there that are doing jobs like weather prediction and resource monitoring and communications. But over time, we've left a lot of things up there as well. Old satellites that they don't function anymore, rockets that took those satellites to orbit. And right now, of all the objects that we track in low Earth orbit especially, 96% of those objects are non-functioning things. Many of them are fragments of old satellites. So that leaves us with only about 415 active satellites and a whole lot of junk floating around them.
And how much of a threat is that junk to the good stuff, the stuff that's still working?
Well, all of that stuff is traveling at 17,000 miles an hour. And so you can imagine a freeway with a whole bunch of intersections and things moving very, very quickly. For the 415 active satellites, if we can see the objects, we can get out of their way and try to avoid running into them. But for many of the objects that are no longer controlled, when they run into each other, they create smaller debris, things larger than a marble, but smaller than a softball. And we estimate there are about 500,000 of those objects in low Earth orbit, each one of which could potentially be fatal if it collides with a satellite.
And there are a few people up there at the International Space Station. Have they been at risk? Have they had to dodge any of this?
They do from time to time. The orbit that the space station is in is relatively low in population, kind of by design. Mm-hmm. But from time to time, they do encounter objects that come within a certain distance of the space station. And they will have the crew get into their escape capsules and be ready to abandon the station if they have to. It's never come to that, thankfully, but there is a potential threat there.
In your paper, you make the case for some urgency. Why do we need to act soon on orbital debris?
Well, there's an idea called the Kessler syndrome that talks about the populations of these orbits increasing to the point where collisions become sort of a self-perpetuating chain reaction. And in cases like that, we can see very quickly an orbit becoming unusable. Too many objects to put an active satellite because it just stands too much of a risk of being hit by other things. For a long time, we operated under what was the big sky theory, that the sky is pretty big and satellites are pretty small. And in 2009, we had a collision between an active communication satellite and an old, unfunctioning Russian satellite. It was the first time that had happened, and it was kind of a wake-up call to the community that maybe the big sky theory wasn't exactly the way we want to operate. And there are some orbits that are very highly populated right now with many communication satellites and lots of debris. And so we're getting close to the point where some of those chain reaction events might actually take place.
In the meantime, more countries and more companies are sending up new stuff, right?
That's right. That's right. 20 years ago, there were only 15 countries, in the world that had satellites in orbit. Today, that number is 45, and it's becoming easier to fly satellites. The emergence of things like CubeSats that are relatively inexpensive, small, easy to make, actually lend themselves to student research opportunities. And so it's becoming that much easier to fly things in orbit as we get better at it.
Has there ever been an idea that when you send something up, you have to have a disposal plan, what it's going to do when it's done?
There are guidelines. Different licensing agencies within our country and then around the world and other space agencies have guidelines like something we call the 25-year rule, which says that you have to remove your satellite from orbit within 25 years of the end of its life. Unfortunately, they're not hard and fast rules. They're guidelines, and they sometimes are at odds with the economics of spaceflight. Satellites are expensive, and the longer they can stay up, the more revenue they can generate. And sometimes we just lose communication with the satellite before it has a chance to begin its deorbit procedure. And so what we're left with is a whole bunch of leftover satellites floating around waiting to run into something.
Oh, so if I've got a satellite and I have a choice between using its last little bit of juice to keep it working for 2 years or to move it and have it burn up in orbit, I might get that extra couple years out of it.
It's very tempting.
So there are two challenges, it seems like, to cleaning this up. Technical, which I want to get into in a minute, but policy, I want to start with. Who makes the decision on how to start cleaning this up, and what does it take to convince them to do that?
Sure. So the policy aspect is almost the more challenging of the two. A lot of people think of space kind of in the same vein of maritime law, where you can salvage things if you want to. That's actually not the case. The UN, the Committee on the Peaceful Use of Outer Space, or COPIUS, has set up some guidelines for how we're going to operate. And in space, the launching state, United States, Russia, China, owns those objects forever. And if we were to go up and try to retrieve an object that wasn't ours, that is in violation of international treaty. So ownership and liability become issues, along with the fact that if you develop something that can go harvest old space junk and deorbit it, you've also developed a platform that can harvest active satellites, which brings us into the realm of dual-use technology or weapons in space, which always makes people a little nervous.
Well, what would it take to have an international agreement that starts getting stuff out of orbit? Who would have to be at the table?
I think all the players are at the table. It's just a long process to discuss the ownerships and liabilities. There's an organization called the IADC that comprises 12 of the world's space agencies, NASA, the Japanese Space Agency, the Russian Space Agency, Europeans. And they're discussing regulations and liabilities and ownerships and those sorts of things on the global level. And at the same time, there are space agencies actively looking at ways to at least remove the things that they own. So there are steps being taken in the right direction, but it's a slow process when you're talking about international policy.
Well, yeah, it seems like there might be players out there who think, gosh, this is expensive. I've got a lot of other stuff I can put my money into. And, you know, I've just got a few satellites up there. They're probably not going to get hit with debris. What's in it for me to participate?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's a definite concern, especially with the newer players in space who may only have one or two satellites. But what's interesting is the folks who have been flying in space the longest, Russia, China, America, are the ones who hold the bulk of the current debris that's up there. And so we have a lot of active satellites, we have a lot of debris, and trying to work within our own ownership is something that's possible. I think part of the challenge is that there are still some technical challenges that are going to require some investment in order to overcome, not that they can't be overcome, but that it will take some money and some time to figure out how to do these things.
Yeah, and let's get into that now. We've covered the international politics side of it. Now, how physically do we make the debris go away?
Sure. So the challenge here is the small things that we cannot see. We can only see things from the ground that are bigger than a softball. That's the 11,000 objects that are in low Earth orbit right now. But the danger comes from the 500,000 things that are the size of a marble. Because we can't see them, we can't really do much about them in terms of remediation or removal. But what we can do is cut off their supply. If we stop allowing things to run into each other, large objects, then we can stop the growth of the smaller population. The challenge there is to remove the larger objects before they have a chance to run into things. In the short term, we do things like post-mission disposal, actually making it a little easier for companies and nations to make the decision to deorbit a satellite at the end of its mission. If we can get that compliance rate up a little bit, then we can slow the growth. And then long-term, actually developing satellites that will fly up to orbit and attach to old pieces of debris and start bringing them back in before they have a chance to run into each other and produce the dangerous small things that we're all worried about.
So scrubber satellites, do we have the technology to do that now?
We have the bits of technology. All of the major pieces are there. It's the integration of the systems and making them function in space and in the manner that we need them to. Most of these objects are not objects that were designed to be rendezvoused with in space, and this is a delicate maneuver. It's a challenge even for rendezvousing capsules with the space station, which we do fairly regularly. To go and grab something that was never intended to be grabbed presents its own unique set of challenges. And then beyond that, the altitude has a major impact on our ability to actually remove them economically. We'd like to take advantage of things like drag, but that doesn't always present itself to us, so we have to do things with propulsion, and that's expensive. And so the pieces are there, our ability to rendezvous, our ability to grab things, but making them work in this type of a situation and making it economical is a challenge.
Briefly, before we wrap up, are you a lone voice in the wilderness, or are people starting to take this seriously?
No, people are starting to take this very seriously. We have an office within our own space agency at Johnson Space Center that tracks orbital debris. The Air Force is very much interested in the congestion of low Earth orbit. On the international scale, we have committees with the UN and other space agencies all looking at different ways to fix this problem, both mathematically and engineering-wise. We even had hearings with the Committee on Space Science and Technology in the U.S. House of Representatives just a couple of weeks ago to talk about the problem and try to decide where we can invest our resources. So people are talking about it, but the more opportunities we get to talk about it and let the general public know what's going on, I think the more traction we'll be able to get.
Well, thanks for talking to us about it today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
That's Tom Percy. He's an engineer, and he's at the University of Alabama in Huntsville.